But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this Thursday, August 10th. And we are so excited to, after a two-week break, to welcome back Dr. Kristen Lyerly for our recurring Thursday segment, Public Service Announcement, where we talk a lot of women's health, but health in general, things that popped up in the headlines that we wanted to get a doctor's opinion on. And we also take your calls and texts if you have any questions for the doctor, 844-967-2789. How are you, friend?
I have really missed spending this time with you.
I know. It was weird, right?
It was only
2 weeks, but it was like, there's so many things to talk about.
A lot of stuff happened in the last couple of weeks, like really important stuff. And I mean, this is kind of like Kristen Bry's personal pregnancy continuum.
Yeah, that is true. It's like I get to have two doctors, my actual doctor, and then I get to just talk to you every week to be like, hey, did what she say is, do you agree with that? my second opinion just built in.
Well, and you know, the thing that we're highlighting today is a huge change in the way that we will be able to take care of women with postpartum depression. 1 in 7 women in this country will deal with perinatal depression, whether it's during the pregnancy or after the pregnancy. Yeah. 1 in 7, that's not a small number. And we don't have a lot of tools for dealing with postpartum depression. We've got talk therapy, but have you tried to get therapy in this world right now with our healthcare system the way that it is? It's nearly impossible, and it's certainly difficult to get it in any sort of a rapid way when you need it right now, and that's what we need for our moms. So that's been a struggle, but also the medications that we've used traditionally don't work right away. They take weeks to months to start working.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's just how...
Most depression drugs, right?
It's really
it's more about the drug. It's not because you just had a baby and there's something different with your body of absorbing the drugs.
Mm-hmm. It's about the drugs themselves. We use a lot of the same medications that we use for people who aren't pregnant, but we know that they're safe in pregnancy. So I use a lot of sertraline or Zoloft. That's probably my go-to. But it takes at least a couple weeks before you see, you know, what the steady state is going to look like. And then you're really looking at 4 to 6 weeks before you have your full therapeutic efficacy. I can't say my words today. I'm a little tired from the Springsteen concert.
She went to Bruce Springsteen last night.
Was it like a 9-hour concert?
Oh my God, it was 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And he's 74 and his audience was getting tired and he's still up there just doing his thing.
Doing his thing.
Talk about living a healthy life, man.
Oh man. So the little research I've started to do and look into the postpartum depression is like the best theories as to why this happened is because there's such a drop in hormones after you have the baby, right?
That's one thing.
Okay.
Definitely. And you know, baby blues is different than postpartum depression.
And how do you tell the difference?
It's tricky.
Yeah.
Well, think of all the things that happen. Let me foreshadow for you.
Mother of four, please tell me what I have to look forward to in 7 weeks.
So you will go home and hopefully you will take your baby with you.
Yes.
Hopefully. But, you know, many people don't get to do that.
Yeah.
And that factors into postpartum depression. So hopefully you get to take your baby with you. And then your baby needs to be fed every 2 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. needs to be cuddled, diapered. Your house has not changed. You still need to do all of those things. You still need to cook and eat and take care of all of the other things in your life and your relationship. It's exhausting. Your whole schedule is turned on its head. It just really disrupts your life.
Yeah.
And that in itself can cause baby blues, where you're really just trying to find that new pace. Not necessarily that, but like, how do I take care of this human who relies entirely on me? And, you know, for first-time moms, I think especially because you don't have any experience, but even for moms with subsequent kids, because every kid is different. So this kid might be easily soothed and that kid might need you to hold them all the time. It can be really challenging. So for the first, 1 to 2 weeks with all of the changes that happen in the postpartum period, baby blues is not unusual. If it lasts longer than 2 weeks, or if it's severe, if it's debilitating, if you can't do the things that you need to do to be able to function in your life, then you probably should seek help. Call your doctor.
Well, and also like ideations of hurting yourself, like things like that, that it's like, that's a pretty obvious sign.
Postpartum depression is, I can't say the number one reason, but it is an entirely preventable cause of death. We know that 2/3 of women who die associated with their pregnancies in this country die in the postpartum period. They die after the baby comes out. 90% of those deaths are preventable, and many of them are related to postpartum depression. So now that we've got this new medication.
So I saw this headline, I think, last week, and I saved it because I knew I wanted to talk about it with you. But basically, the FDA approved the first treatment for postpartum depression. It says on Friday. I think that was either last Friday or maybe even the Friday before. So what should we know about this?
It has a hard name. Zurzavi.
Zurzavi, yeah. That sounds right. Zurzavi.
Zuranolone. Zurzuvi, something like that.
How do they come up with these names? I think I've said this joke before. It's like, who do you think has a more interesting job? The people who come up with prescription drug names or lipstick names?
Mm-hmm. Or paint swatches. Nail
polish.
See?
Another good one.
A lot of naming jobs out there for the creative, right. Verbose folks.
Yeah. Zurzuvi. Okay. The thing about Zurzuvi that's different is you take it once a day at night and it works right away. So you don't have to kind of grin and bear it and try to get through those first couple of weeks to see if it's going to make a difference. It works right away. You take it for up to 2 weeks. The efficacy is, it lasts for about 4 weeks total, and hopefully that gets you over the hump, or at least gets you to the point where you can get into talk therapy or try a different kind of therapy to help continue your treatment if your postpartum depression continues.
So it is categorized as an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I think is interesting is, like I said, when I think about depression, I think about chemical imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about postpartum, I think about hormonal imbalances.
Yeah.
But does that really matter? I mean, is it all of it? So it's like, that's why formerly antidepressants before this one, that it was just slower, would still work. They just took a long time. And is this still, like, is Zurzuvi still, is it approaching it as a hormonal imbalance or a chemical imbalance or both, or does it matter?
So like we were talking about before, postpartum depression can be related to so many different things.
Yeah.
It can be all of those things that cause the baby blues, but it can also be related to pre-existing depression. If you had depression before pregnancy, you're at a higher risk of having it during the pregnancy and in the postpartum period. So one opportunity is to treat it beforehand, to be ready for it.
Okay.
So if it does actually happen, you already have started your medication. You already are plugged in with therapy, so you don't have that big delay. A lot of this has to do with, you know, making proper plans and treating you like an individual, recognizing what those opportunities are. And one of those opportunities are the socioeconomic and lifestyle things that are happening in your life. You know, how many people don't have a long enough maternity leave? They don't have a work schedule that's flexible. They don't have child
care. Partner
who
has we were just talking to a couple over the weekend where he had to go back to work immediately.
Yeah.
And so she was just on her own at home. I mean, luckily she didn't. So she had maternity leave, but he's like, I didn't get any time off of work.
Yeah.
And like, we're really lucky that like Mike will be able to, Mike will clean the house. He already does that most of the time anyways. So.
Clean the house is one thing, but like sleep.
Yeah.
You know, they say sleep when the baby sleeps. Well, you're never sleeping well. You're sleeping in 2 or 3 hour increments around the clock. You know, I remember going months without a substantial night of sleep. I'm looking at your face right now.
I've been like, it's hitting the point where it's like, I'm just tired all the time. I was like, oh, but this is just going to be my life. Like, I don't know the next time I'm going to feel well rested.
Well, and I think about too, just trying to take a shower when you have an infant and you're going to get a 3-minute shower because you're not going to want to linger in there while the baby is sleeping. At least I would be freaking out.
So. Yeah, I remember putting my baby in a bouncy seat and bringing him
in the bathroom,
the bathroom, sitting next to me so that I could hear him. You're always paying attention. So all of those things, if you don't have the support, if we don't have the institutional support, which we don't.
Yeah.
All of those things can make a difference. So we have to address this on a number of different levels. This is not a magic bullet. If you've got other factors that are contributing to why you have postpartum depression, those things need to be solved as well. But to your point about hormonal imbalances, yes, that is what this medication does. It helps to modulate a hormonal imbalance and hopefully get you over that 2-week hump so that when your hormones are starting to stabilize again, then you'll be better.
So is this something I could ask my doctor about, like, next time I see her? Mm-hmm. Like, it's FDA approved, it's available?
I don't know whether it's actually out there yet. Sometimes it got fast-tracked through the FDA, and it's always hard to know whether it's going to be available here in our pharmacies or not. Like, that whole supply chain thing is kind of confusing to me. I'm a doctor, not a pharmacist.
I haven't known because I haven't had to take that. But
it's called Zurzuvae.
Zurzuvae.
It sounds like a musical instrument.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I play the Zurzuvae.
This is public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We have to go to a break, but two different things I want to touch on. One we'll do quickly, and then one we'll get into a little bit more when we come back from the break. Things are being advertised to me, and whether or not you can debunk whether it's worth buying or not. But then also I want to talk about this new headline with Wegovy, because I feel like this is a drug, between this and Ozempic and other drugs like it, every week it feels like there's some kind of headline about it. Mm-hmm. And so getting your thoughts on, like, for people who've heard about it, as things continue to roll in, when is a good time to finally pull the trigger versus wait and see? So both of those questions. And if you have any questions, 844-967-2789. If you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, 844-96-PARTY. You can text them in. You can call them in. Or if you're listening to this later as a podcast on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yes.
We have a while. You're here until I'm gone, basically.
So maybe longer.
I won't have to miss you again.
We'll see. No.
All right. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And it is that time of the week for a public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is in the studio. And we're just chit-chatting away. I wish it was the end of the show today so we could just keep talking after the show was over. But we're going to have to let you go after the end of this segment, unfortunately. But you'll be back next week. And as always, if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, 844-967-2789, or you can email them in at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. So the first thing in this last segment that I want to get to just quickly, and then we'll go on to Wegovy. I started getting, because, you know.
I know.
You get a lot of ads. When the algorithm figures out that you're pregnant, you get a lot of things targeted towards you.
You need this.
Clothes and baby stuff and all the different things that you're like, oh, I do need that.
This is not a small topic, though. Don't think that this is going to be like a little tiny topic. This is going to be a bigger topic.
All right. So you're saying that we may have to bookshelf or table Wegovy if we can get there?
I think it'll be a small topic.
All right. So I saw this ad yesterday, and it's from It's Bodily, and it's called Lactation Latte. And, you know, this is like stuff that I feel like I used to for like cleanses and stuff, like, you know, like this, you know, this green juice or whatever. And it's like packaged. It's beautifully packaged. I know the company itself also sells like postpartum maternity wear and nursing bras and stuff. So it is a company that makes products for new moms. But it was funny because I was like, all right. Is this? Because of course I was like, ooh, I need that.
Of course
and
you
I was
do.
Like, hold up. Before I add that to my cart, let me ask Dr. Lyerly tomorrow of like, are there certain things that you should be taking, supplements and the like, that help with lactation as a new mom?
You should be drinking lots of water.
Okay. How about chewing ice? I've been doing a lot of that lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you had your iron checked recently?
I've recently found out that I'm also mildly anemic. So, yes, that's probably why I'm chewing ice all the time. Okay, good to know. Get that iron supplement.
And she has an ice preference, too, Dr. Lyerly.
Oh, Quick Trip ice is the best.
Really?
By far.
Do they make a Skittle-flavored ice?
You know me so well.
I mean.
Anyway, so lots of hydration. But this is, so the things that they're saying are in this stuff contains coconut milk, oat milk, something I can't pronounce, goat's rue. Like it's a supplement, right? There's a lot of stuff in there. And like, is this something that is just marketing and trying to get you to buy something? Or is there stuff that like in there, they're like, oh, that'd be really healthy and that'd be helpful.
Well, breastfeeding is not as easy as you would think. So, you know, a lot of people go into the postpartum period thinking, well, I have breasts and I have a baby, so I'm good to go.
And people have done this for thousands of years.
Right. It's not that easy. For some people, it really is that easy. For other people, there are a lot of barriers. Maybe they've had breast surgery in the past, and that can certainly cause problems with breastfeeding. Maybe they have a baby who went to the NICU and didn't get to come home with them, so they've had to pump initially, yeah. And that can be really challenging. There are a lot of obstacles that you can encounter. So I would say, other than just drinking water, which you need to drink lots of extra water because you're putting out lots of extra water, work with a lactation consultant mm-hmm. if you are having issues with breastfeeding. That's the number one thing that needs to happen. There are medications that we can use. It's not unusual for us to prescribe metoclopramide or Reglan. Domperidone is another one that we've traditionally used in the medical community. Fenugreek is...
There's a lot of words I can't pronounce.
Fenugreek is a common herbal remedy, and there are lots of herbs and supplements and things that may or may not work, just like the whole supplement industry.
Yeah.
Do they work? Do they not? We don't know. They haven't really been studied. Like, they haven't been rigorously studied. They're not rigorously controlled. So the supplement that you could buy two different bottles next to each other in the pharmacy, and they might have different ingredients. So it's really hard to know what's in these supplements. And I think the thing about this that bothers me the most is that it is marketing.
It's totally marketing.
And what's the calorie content? Because a lot of people in the postpartum period are trying to be healthy. They're trying to lose weight to get back down to their normal pregnancy weight. And you do need extra calories, 400 extra calories a day if you're breastfeeding. But a lot of people struggle to lose weight because they're so out of their schedule. They don't have that regular meal time that they had before. You know, there's no time to get to the grocery store for produce and the things that you feel like you need to be eating. So it bothers me when, I mean, there's probably nothing wrong with this.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know that this is any sort of a magical thing that's going to make breastfeeding amazing for you.
I will save my money then. There's plenty of other stuff I feel like I need to go buy.
Water.
Lots of water. Yeah. But it was funny because someone commented on the ad saying basically what you said is like, you just need like water in this. And then the brand itself responded to that comment saying, well, we have to have studies and this and this and this and all these things. It's like, of course they have to. But that's why I thought it was interesting to talk to you as far as like, what are the things that have been proved? Because there's guys, we do every segment, right? There's constantly new studies showing this is helpful, this is not helpful, this is empty calories or whatever. And so, I mean, it was interested to get your take on this targeted ad that I received yesterday.
Yes, but look at what the studies are for. They're for the things that make money. Nobody's doing a study on fenugreek.
What is fenugreek?
It's just a thing that people have used forever. I think it's a derivative of fennel, maybe. It's got that really anisey kind of smell to it. Some people can't tolerate it at all because it's got a very strong flavor. Okay. But, you know, some people love it. They think it works really well for them. I don't know. Nobody's doing a study on cabbage leaves for breast pain with breastfeeding, but cabbage leaves have been used forever. And I have patients who really love that as an option. So
Do you eat them or do you put them on your breast?
You put them on your breast.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. It's probably cheaper than the silverette things that I registered for.
And it has to be cabbage, not kale.
Well, cabbage has that nice breast shape to it.
It's the head.
Yeah, okay. Kale is so
kale
leafy
is like
and
very
straight.
It's a green thing.
It's a green thing.
All right, well, we'll have to talk about Wegovy next week because this flew by, but Dr. Kristen Lierley, always so fun to have you.
It always flows by too fast.
Always. Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, Wisconsin's Beer Baron, Chris Drosner, will be here to talk about the great taste of the Midwest. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And has it been only a month or did we skip a month?
I think he's having a hard time hearing us.
Oh.
I am not sure what...
Chris, you are muted. Can you hear us? Now you can hear us? We cannot hear you. You're muted, so we have to wait for a second. But as he's unmuting himself... Once a month, we talk to Chris Drosner, Wisconsin's Beer Baron, about what's going on in beer news in Wisconsin. Are we good to go?
User error. The most basic user error is that we haven't been doing this for 3 years. Sorry about that.
No problem. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good. We're, you know.
Doing great is actually kind of underselling it a little bit because this is like, on Saturday is beer Christmas for
beer
people who
Christmas
are into this kind of thing.
Have they trademarked that yet? Oh,
they haven't. But they don't need to. It's of the people.
Okay, so and of course we're talking about the great taste of the Midwest, which you have exactly said. It is like beer Christmas. And it is the, I've never been, so, but it, you're saying this is the best beer festival in the country. Oh, I think we're having a little bit of a hard time with your Wi-Fi, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it's not the biggest, but it's.
We may need you to call in, which might be a better option. A better option, just because I think there's a little bit of a delay.
And our connection is a little glitchy.
Or maybe if we just turn your video off, sometimes that helps as well.
Yeah, I'll try that. This is the biggest festival in the. It's not the biggest festival in the country, but it's definitely one of the. It's the best. It's the best because it's in Madison on the second Saturday in August, and it's in beautiful Lakeside Olin Park with. Hundreds of brewers from around the Midwest, and it just has everything that you want out of a beer festival, and none of the junk. You know,
what's the junk? What would you consider the junk at other festivals?
What really sets this one apart is not the size. I mean, it is huge. There's 200 brewers and 14. They're expecting like 1,300 to 1,500 different beers being poured at this festival, right? So that's like huge, but it's really about like the access to the brewers. This is a beer geeks festival. And so all these breweries that come, they bring their staff. You can talk to the person that made this Oyster Goza, a really esoteric style. Why did you put oysters in it? Well, you can ask the guy who made it or the gal who made it, who's sitting, you know, who's pouring this beer for you. So that's really what makes this extraordinary. And really the Madison Homebrewers and Tasters Guild, the volunteer organization that puts it on, does an exceptional job taking care of the brewers. That's why, like, brewery people are sick of beer festivals at this point.
We've talked about this before. I feel like either in July or in June, you were kind of saying like there's been a plateau of the enthusiasm for beer festivals. And I know Brewfest in Milwaukee was just two weekends ago. And so, you were saying that as far as like it's just not as
hip,
popular or as much of a driver of ticket sales and stuff. But you're saying still a standard.
Yeah, I think there's some fatigue on the consumer side of things, but the brands are definitely sick of it. You know, for so many years it was like, well, we're getting our name out there, we're having new people try our products, and it was kind of a marketing thing. And we're done with that at this point. Everybody knows what craft beer is about. They know kind of whether they like it or not. They probably know what they're into or not. But this is just different because for the brewers, the great taste takes care of them. They handle all the kegs because you've got brewers coming from Kansas, you've got them coming from Ohio, you've got them coming from the Dakotas and Nebraska, all over the Midwest coming. And so it's a big deal. You got to get hotel rooms for all your staff, but they make it easy, and it becomes like this kind of combination of a family reunion and an industry convention for these people who get a lot of them come together. And you've got brewers who used to work at another brewery who might see their former coworkers, or, you know, there's just a huge social aspect to it. And beer is really good at bringing people together anyway. Mm-hmm. So when you kind of combine that with a great setting and a festival that makes it really easy for the brewers to kind of do their thing, that experience translates to the consumer experience, you know, because I go and I'm one of 10,000 people in this park, and everybody is happy to be there instead of just the people on my side of the table.
That's interesting. So that was going to be one of my questions. So it's 10,000 people?
It's between guests, the guild's volunteers, and the brewer's staff, it's 10,000 people. And almost all of those, like between with the volunteers and the brewer's staff, you know, they are going to be mingling and sampling beers as well. You know, the way the volunteer shifts work is you're typically on for, you know, like half the festival. It's a five hour festival. So you might be on for the first 3 hours or 4 hours, and then you have a few hours to walk around and sample. So everybody kind of is, and of course the brewer's staff, they want to get around and check out other breweries too. You know, they're very much in the same boat as we are. So yeah, it's, and the setting, it just can't beat it.
Olin Park is pretty great.
It's on this hill above Lake Monona. You could see, you know, downtown and Monona Terrace off in the distance. It's just everybody's happy to be there. And of course, you know, a little bit of alcohol goes a long way too. So, you know.
Is there any new Wisconsin beers or breweries there that you're looking forward to? Or I guess what is going to be new or different this year that you are excited about from a journalistic perspective?
Yeah, well, every year they have 30 new breweries every year. So, and they kind of rotate. They have a system for getting this long waiting list of brewers that want to get in,
yeah, of course,
to the festival, you know, in there. And the program, they have a printed program, and they put out a digital version of it on Monday, and it lists all the beers that are going to, not all the beers, but, you know, almost all the beers that are going to be available, like, you know, more than 1,000 beers. So last night I started going through it, and it's insane. Like there's all these esoteric styles and like weird ingredients and like historical beers. Like Giant Jones from Madison has a beer that was based on a piece from like 17th century Antwerp in Belgium. Like I have no idea what that's going to be like. So, and that's super representative of what you're going to find there. There's every combination of pastry stout you can imagine.
Was that pastry stout?
Pastry stout. You know, you don't know what pastry stout is?
I mean, I can deduce what it is. Is it like a stout that's
your maple bacon, scones?
Yeah, basically, it's a imperial stout that is super sweet and usually has like vanilla and maybe cocoa nibs or cinnamon or, you know, stuff that kind of makes it a profile, like a dessert like profile.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's going to be about 150 to 200 of those.
So here's my question.
All north of 10% ABV.
Yeah. Obviously you probably, everyone has their own approach, but I'm thinking about this because I'm going to the state fair today. Like this is my day to go. And I'm obviously, we've been joking about all the different kinds of food, and you have to pick, because one, it's expensive to get everything. And two, you can only eat so much. And so when you approach a beer festival that has over 1,000 types of beer. How does one approach that? I mean, I assume to a certain extent it has to be almost like wine tasting where there's like a spit cup because you can't actually drink that much without getting hammered and still appreciate all the different kinds of beer you're getting. But like, no one's actually going to try 1,000 different types of beer in a weekend, are they?
No. No, it's just one day too, so it's
what are the different strategies people can take of like how to approach this to get the most out of it?
I have heard of people who bring spreadsheets to the first of all, the program is in an app, so you can kind of like, you know, create your path through the various tents and say, you know, I'm definitely going to go to this booth and this booth and this booth. And a lot of people do that. I mean, I have done that. Been really organized and making sure that I'm not going to miss certain beers. And most of my tips these days are about not getting too drunk.
Okay.
And so drinking a lot of water, rinsing between, you know, you rinse your glass between, drink that water. But also just be chill.
Just be chill, dude.
And don't overdo it.
It's not a competition.
Yeah, and one of my rules is that I will not wait in line.
Okay.
Well, not of, you know, some of the more popular breweries tend to have longer lines, and there's so many great brewers and beers at this festival that it just doesn't make sense to me to get the best one. Right? Air quotes work great on radio, but that's really a key for me, is to not worry about missing out on anything, because you're going to stumble into some great beer. And the idea of, you know, tasting a great Kolsch from a brewery in Indiana that you're never going to make it to, you know, I mean, that's really what it's about. And really like being with your friends and hanging out and, you know, having little sips from their glasses and, you know, and when you do run into a bad beer, there's going to be a bad beer, you know?
Yeah, of course.
When you're talking about all this weird stuff, like pickle beers and mustard beers and whatever, there's going to be something that you don't like. Dump it on the ground. And don't do it like right in front of the brewer, but, you know, take a sip, don't make a face, walk away, thank them. And then as soon as you get out of eyesight, yep, that's going on the grass.
There's
sometimes like toward the end of the festival, you're supposed to be pouring two-ounce pours. But by the end of the festival, they want to get rid of the beer. So
the
glasses start getting pretty full, and that is not the time to start drinking full beers.
They must sell food, I hope, to soak up all this beer.
All kinds of food, yeah. Yeah, all kinds of food vendors. There are presentations where they do chocolate and cheese pairings with beers. You know, they have all kinds of other vendors. It's a whole little village out in Owen Park, all built around just celebrating awesome beer. It's one of the days of the year that I look forward to the most.
I would say you can hear the like excitement in your voice. It's like palpable.
Absolutely.
Like, I just can't even describe it. I'm so excited for this weekend. Ah.
And imagine that times 10,000, really. I mean, it's so cool. It's so cool.
So then beyond that, as I said, I'm going to the state fair today. Is there any beer associated news when it comes to state fair, or is it all just food?
The beer at the state fair has come a long way in the last, decade or so. You know, they do have a couple of craft, kind of micro, I think they're called the micro, those bars, big one in the center. And then they've got a couple, other ones scattered around. And yeah, you can get some decent beers. They have a program where if you get the last, if you kick the keg, you know, like if you get the last beer poured out of a keg, you get like a free t-shirt or something, which is an interesting way to encourage consumption.
I mean, do we need to encourage consumption at the state fair?
This is Wisconsin, right? I think we're good.
I would say my biggest 2 years ago, my best beer story from the state fair was I went to the Guinness tent and they had the machine where they can print your picture onto your Guinness, onto the foam. That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I went on Monday, and I regret to inform everybody that I only had one beer, but it was a good one. It was I found a stand that had a Lakefront Hazy Rabbit IPA. So
well, there you go. All right, quickly, we only have 30 seconds left. What food should I get tonight after your experience on Monday?
Oh, you got to get like the, well, okay.
You only got 30 seconds.
I didn't go off crazy, but you got to get a cream puff.
Okay, cream puff.
That's the straight answer.
Thanks so much. We'll see you next month, Chris. Chris Drosner is the executive editor for Milwaukee Magazine and writes the Wisconsin Beer Baron column for Wisconsin State Journal. We'll see you next month, buddy. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And yes, I am. This is the only day that we can make it to the state fair. So Mike and I are going this evening.
All right.
Seems like the weather is behaving, which is great. You went over the weekend, correct?
My husband and I went on Sunday.
So in this last segment, if you have any suggestions, either you've won any of our listeners who maybe won tickets, if you want to tell us what you you ate and you liked, or in general, anyone who's gone so far this year, if you have a food or drink recommendation of something I should definitely try tonight, text it in, call it in, 844-967-2789, and we'll take your recommendations and I will write them down because I feel like I'm going to give myself five things.
That's a lot.
Well, Michael to share it with me.
That's true. You can split.
But I feel like I need to make some content for the TikToks and the whatever as far as our experiences there for the evening. So I was like, all right, I feel like if I do the top five things and then I rank those,
you should be good.
Then I should be good. So I feel like I have to. I was going through what the Sporky finalists were. And so the Beer Cheese Wisconsin Lava Cake from Worst Bar won. I think that was what Richard from Sussex said that he would eat every day for the rest of his life.
I believe you're right.
Our first winner. Then the Porky from Camp Bar, which is like an ice cream, very decadent looking thing. Deep fried apple pie from Saz's. Kind of sounds pretty good, actually.
That does sound pretty tasty.
So those were the top three for the foods. And then the drinkies, the Ferris Mule from Old Fashioned Sipper Club is what won there. And so, but some of the other things, the dill pickle donut was one of the finalists. The Irish Dipper. What is that? I don't know. So if you have any suggestions, we would love to hear from you as far as what should I eat tonight? Or what would baby like most? Maybe that's the other video I can make as far as what agreed with me and what agreed with the baby the most, because she certainly lets me know when, I don't know if she's angry, but there's movement after certain foods versus other foods.
Leaving little editorial comments for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so go ahead.
844-967-2789 if you want to call in or text over the next couple of minutes talking about what Kristen and baby should try tonight at the State Fair. Our friend Greg from Waukesha. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Hello. So every year besides this year, I usually go to the state fair, and the Wisconsin Products Pavilion always has great food, including when I could eat them. I'm gluten-free now, but the grilled cheese sandwiches, they're like $2 or $3. They're like the best deal. They may be more now, but they're the best deal on the fair. And just, Kristen, as a real quick bonus, Ben Janzow is playing at the state fair every day, and so is Caitlin Pico. And so support those
okay.
local
musicians. Do you know what stage they're at?
I should have had that.
I will look prepared, it up. Or if you look it up, if you want to text it in, I'll keep an eye on the text line so I can go make sure that I stop by and say and support them this afternoon. Because I was wondering, I was going to look at, see what acts are up today to make sure. Because I think we're just going to walk around. They're certainly going to go down the slide.
Oh, you're going to do the slide.
Why wouldn't I do the slide?
It's a lot of steps.
Oh.
You got to walk up there.
There's no escalator. Thanks for the call, Greg.
now that I've ruined your big slide dreams.
Yeah, and I don't think since Mike's getting back surgery in a week, so I'm pretty sure he's not going to carry me up those stairs.
That seems unlikely.
So I'm trying to think of the other stuff because we're definitely not going to do the other rides. This is not a year that I feel like the other fair rides is what I'm looking for.
Were you a big fair rider?
When I was a kid, and I think 2 years ago, because last year we didn't go because COVID was starting to spike again. And as I've said, I was like, there's nothing that I need to eat at the state fair that considering in a week I'm wearing a 2-piece wedding gown.
True.
And so I missed it last year. And so I haven't gone in 2 years. And then that 2 years ago, we did a lot of the rides and it was fun. I don't even know if I'll fit in all the rides right now.
The last thing you want to be doing is getting tossed around all over the place.
Yeah.
At 7.5 months.
No.
So
yeah.
Probably not.
So I'm trying to think of the other stuff that we might do. The Ferris wheel, TBD on the slide, now that you mentioned how many stairs there are. I certainly want to see a lot of the animals. What else did you guys do when you were there?
We did watch, we went to the, I think it's called the Canine Pavilion. So we went and watched dock diving.
Nice.
And he also had trained his dog to retrieve things from behind, you know, where you hide them around the arena. I could sit in there all day. And just watch them do things.
What's
with dogs.
What's the predominant breed that's doing? Is it mostly collies? Is it a lot of retrievers?
It's a lot of retrievers.
Okay,
and a lot of labs, I would say, because they're so water happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
we recently tested Cliff's appetite for water.
And how did he do?
There is none. There is no appetite. There is no appetite for water. When we went camping, we brought him with, and we tried to get him to go into the lake pond. And he, as a chihuahua, he was like, absolutely not.
Are you kidding
me? I want nothing to do with this.
And then, of course, I always like to go through the expo center to see some of the people who sell the magical whatever, the magical mop, the magical this, the magical iron. That is a stage show in and of itself.
Yeah.
For some of those hawkers. You know what I mean? It's a skit.
Absolutely.
And some of them are really good.
Sales, baby.
Yeah.
Sell ice to an Eskimo.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. So, and then just in other news, obviously our state fair is coming to an end this weekend, but the Iowa State Fair is just getting started. And so I'm excited to see today is the Iowa State Fair's first day of their 11-day fair. And it's, you know, one of America's oldest and biggest agricultural and industrial expositions in the country. And it is also where all those presidential hopefuls are there glad handing. So I'm sure next week we're going to be able to see some of the, did Ron DeSantis put his foot in his mouth?
Completely face plant when someone said hello to him.
What was there? There was one, I think he was at a different fair recently where he looked at a kid and some kid was eating some treat. He goes, is that good? A lot of sugar in there, huh? It's so awkward.
He is so socially strange.
And so I feel like basically all the candidates are going to do their rounds at the Iowa State Fair ahead of, obviously, the caucus. And then they're going to get in a plane. Well, at least 8 of them will get on a plane and come here for the debate
right?
on the 23rd.
The 23rd.
And so looking out for any fun bits that we can do based off of the antics at the Iowa State Fair.
We'll have all those corn dog pictures to work with.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to Dr. Kristen Lierley. Thank you to Chris Drosner for being our guest today. Thank you to everyone who called and texted. We'll be back tomorrow. Luke Mathers will be here. And we'll have a good Friday show. Thanks for listening. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Dollars to donate.